Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a best of edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Weekend edition of the show where we recap some of my favorite segments from the previous week. There was a lot to choose from. We had a couple of great conversations about the game of basketball and the Utah Jazz. And, of course, baseball. A lot of baseball talk on the show. Today we're going to spread it around. We will talk lots of local sports. So here's what's on tap. First off, every week we are joined by Bill Lasky to talk some Major League Baseball. I always look forward to those conversations. Bill's an excellent baseball mind, pitched in the major leagues for a few seasons, and now serves as an analyst for the San Francisco Giants. So you're going to get his recap on Major League Baseball. On the local sports front, the soccer season is now complete here in the local area, both Carbon and Emory suffering losses. We were joined earlier on in the week by Coach Troy Winter. He talked a bit about the end of the season for the Spartans. They had a great year, won a Region 15 championship, but fell victim to the upset bug in the opening round, so we'll play that interview for you as well. And then this upcoming week, the Carbon Dino Track and Field Squad will travel to BYU, where they will participate in the state championship tournament. A lot of athletes doing some great things on that team. In fact, the boys squad made a push for a region championship. They came pretty close. So an entertaining conversation with Coach Jim Jukes as well. So we're going to talk some Emory High School sports, some Carbon High School sports, and since it's baseball season, we'll recap some Major League Baseball. That's all coming up on this weekend best of edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're back in just a moment. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin on the high school baseball field where yesterday the Carbon Dinos suffered a 6-0 loss to the Grantsville Cowboys in the quarterfinals of the 3A state championship tournament. Carbon and Grantsville remained tied throughout the first four innings, 0-0, but it was Grantsville that scored six runs in the final three frames to pick up the 6-0 win. Despite the loss, the Dinos received a stellar pitching performance from Cody Lowe, who kept the Dinos in the contest throughout. Despite getting multiple runners in scoring position, Carbon was unable to plate runs, even though they had out-hit Grantsville 4-2 inside the fifth inning. Now, the loss yesterday means that Carbon will move to the one-loss bracket, where a state championship is still obtainable. The Dinos will go toe-to-toe with the Union Cougars at 11 a.m. A win there means Carbon will advance to play either Richfield, Judge Memorial, or JUAB at 7 o'clock tonight. A win there, and Carbon will advance to the final day of the state championship tournament tomorrow at 10 a.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll continue to follow the progress of the 3A state baseball championship tournament. Now, speaking of results, the Emory Spartans season came to an end yesterday as they suffered a 12-10 loss to the Union Cougars in an elimination contest. Emory held a 7-5 lead late in the contest, but it was Union that scored five straight to move past the Spartans and clinch a spot against Summit Academy later on in the afternoon. The loss ends Emory's season at 13-14, their first year under head coach Rob Smith. We'll talk more about the Emory Spartan baseball team with a season recap interview with Coach Smith next week. We move over to softball, and yesterday the Carbon Lady Dinos won a 15-14 thriller over the North Stampede Hawks, advancing to the quarterfinals of the 3A state championship tournament this afternoon, where they will meet the Union Cougars. In a back-and-forth contest, Carbon managed to hold on late, and that'll set up yet another contest with Union. Both squads are from Region 14. Carbon is the number 3 seed from this division, while Union is number 2. The quarterfinals will also feature number 1 Grantsville from Region 13 and number 2 Manti from Region 15. A win today for the Lady Dinos means they'll advance to the semifinals, which will take place later this evening at 6 p.m. A loss would send Carbon to the one-loss bracket for an elimination contest that would begin at 4 p.m. Now, we stick with high school sports, but we move over to golf. And Wednesday afternoon, the Carbon Lady Dinos wrapped up the 2018 golf season with a fourth-place finish at the 3A State Championship Tournament. Competing over a two-day span, the Lady Dinos made the second-day cut after shooting a 398 in Tuesday's opening round. A 26-stroke improvement Wednesday allowed the team to finish inside the top five with a final score of 770. The Richfield Wildcats dominated the competition. They finished with a final score of 668, topping second-place Morgan by 71 strokes. Judge Memorial's 339 placed them in third. Providence Hall rounded out the top five with a 784. Jordan Bianco posted a team-low two-day score of 169 for Carbon, which placed her fourth overall individually. She finished just 11 strokes behind Hayden Harris of Richfield, who took home the top individual honors. You can get a complete recap of the 3A State Championship Golf Tournament by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We are going to talk a lot of local sports on the show today. Most of it is geared towards Carbon High School. Now, yesterday, the Dinos played host to the Region 14 Championship track and field meet. Only every three or four years does Carbon have that opportunity, so it was a big deal. There was a nice crowd out there, and the Dinos definitely made a push. A couple of region championships in the bag as well, and now they'll prepare for the state meet next week in Provo. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Jim Jukes of the Carbon Dinos track and field squad. Once again, Coach, a pleasure to get you on today. Thank you.
No, thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Definitely, Coach. It's a fun time to be a part of track and field, that is for sure. Something that only happens once every three or four years, Carbon High School actually got to play host to the Region 14 Championship. That was yesterday, and actually both the boys and the girls performed quite well and definitely put on a show for the hometown crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, that first day, matter of fact, I got calls from other coaches in the state that were looking at the results after we posted the first day. I think it was three teams that had 38 points, and one team had 30 points on the girls' side. Our boys were down a little bit after day one. They were in the fourth spot, but we knew we had our strong events coming up, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, seeing those kids perform the way they did, we had a lot of standouts that just stepped up and did a lot for us.
Let's talk about some of the individuals. We'll begin on the girls' side, Coach. And I think at the beginning of the season, going back to our first interview, I mean, the girls' track and field squad always does great things. And so I don't think it's any surprise that Carbon's girls finishes in second with 116 points. But if we take a look at some of the top performers, again, to no surprise, Shannon Baker ends up in the top three in basically every event that she participated in.
Yeah, Shannon has been she has been an amazing athlete for us. She, won the region title in the 400. She was third in the 100 meters, which was higher than we thought she'd be. And she was second in the 200 and ran an amazing time into a headwind. And, you know, she was going against the state leader in that event with Ronnie Walker from GWAP. And so she did really well there. And then she anchored our 4x4. And I think if she would have had just a little bit more rest, her and McKenna Blank, our 4x4 would have got that. The top two times in the state in 3A were ran right there, and it was just a lean out of the tape in that 4x4. And I think we can turn around and get Delta in that particular race at state next week.
Some of the other top performers for you guys on the girls' side, Jody Noyes is an athlete, Coach, that we talk a lot about when it comes to basketball. But during her junior campaign, I mean, she's been terrific across the board, and she actually takes home first place in the shot put for you guys and then finishes second, I believe, in the discus.
Yeah, you know, Jody does a lot of good things for us, and the throws are really good for us in general because the reason the shot gets so competitive is you got Jody. And you also have Harley right there. Harley took second, and they went back and forth in that shot put final. Harley had the lead for a minute, and then Jody out through her, and then Harley had the lead, and then Jody out through her. And Harley had a throw. Her last throw was a huge throw, and she barely scratched it. And so I think Jody had a big sigh of relief when she saw that happen to keep the region title. But I look for that battle between those two to go on in the state tournament a little bit and see where they're at. And then Jody came back the second day in the disc and threw really well for us there. And I look for her to have a impact on our state meet this next week.
Who were some of the other top performers on the girls' side, Coach, that stood out to you?
McKenna Blank, she kind of had it down on that 400. She was upset about that. She wanted to be in the top four, just didn't quite work out her way. But we put her in the long jump, not knowing exactly what to expect because she's hasn't worked on it a lot. She jumped 16 feet in the long jump. I believe she ended up in fifth in that, which wasn't a bad thing. We needed those points there. And then for her to come bounce back from what she thought was a disappointing 400, I didn't think it was disappointing at all, but she thought it was, and she came back in that 800, ran a second place 800 time behind the state leader, Kennedy Powell, and got us right back in that, and then ran a great leg on the 4x4 to get us in there. And so I thought McKenna really did a lot of good things for us there. Emma Christensen battled in the high jump for us. She looked like she was going to end up in fourth for a minute, and then she jumped 5-2 on her first jump and swung everything in her favor. I mean, that was an exciting event. She was jumping up and down. The JUAB girl managed to make it on her third attempt, and then the JUAB girl made 5-3 on her last attempt to beat Emma. And so they went one, and the JUAB girl got her there. But we look forward to Emma. I mean, those two girls are the top two high jumpers in the state right now. So I look forward to seeing if Emma can come back and get her a state. I mean, she'd much rather lose a region and win state. And I think that's kind of how that goes. Jessa Holyoke, she did really well in the long jump as well. She took fourth in there, jumped 16 feet. Our girls just did really well across the board. You know, Mariana Molinar, she took second in the javelin. She was leading it going into out of trials and just got out thrown in the final. But she's one that to look for at state. She could be right in the mix up there, helping us out. And so, you know, we've got a lot of girls. You know, Reagan Hansen did a lot of good things for us in the 2 mile and the mile. And you know, you look at those girls, and we've got girls in a lot of different events across the board that are going to help us out. And all three of our relays made it into state, which is super important as you start looking for a state title and you start talking about, you know, potential points and state champs, and we're sitting really well.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jim Jukes of the Carbonetto Track and Field Squad. Coach, let's shift it over to the boys. As I said, a big surprise here. This team just gets better and better and better. You guys finished third overall with 111 points, just 19 off of the leader in Delta. Strong performance for your boys.
Oh, it was. I mean, our boys were just absolutely amazing yesterday. I mean, to say the least. And I mean, this has been a complete 180-degree turnaround for this team, and it's been nice to see that. I mean, Garrett Killam was the anchor of that that team yesterday. He won the long jump, getting another personal best. He jumped 22 feet, 1.25 inch, I believe, which is the state-leading long jump in 3A by about, well, it was by a foot until Carson Frame took second in that event and hit a 21-3 in that event. And so Carson's the second furthest jump in the state right now. Behind Derek, and then Derek took third in the 300 hurdles, and then he helped anchor our 4x1 and our 4x4 to region titles as well in both of those. And so he did a lot of good things for us, and then Carson Frame did a lot of good things for us. He took third in the 100-meter hurdles, was also part of those relay teams, and took second in the long jump. And to have two guys that are that good there, that's awesome. But we're fortunate enough to have Carter Fawcett, who also, you know, he took third in the 400 and, you know, long jump well, and also anchored those, or was with those teams on the relays. And so we got a lot of good guys there, but as surprising as that was to me, I think the most amazing thing that happened was James Briner. You know, he's come on strong for us. He wins the region title in the 2 mile. You know, he's the first carbon high athlete to do that since Garrett Marsing. Then we had him in the mile, him and Ammon Wilson and Chad Page all qualified in the 2 mile, but they all ran below, they qualified in 2 mile, and then James and the twins, Chad and Ryan Page, all ran below 6 minutes below 5 minutes in the mile, which we've never had three distance runners on the boys' side have three of them under five.
It's a pretty remarkable. And Coach, I was talking to a couple from Union yesterday, and James Brenner got brought up, and the husband out of that couple told me a long distance runner from Carbon. Well, boy, go figure. That's a big surprise. What is it about the long distance runners here? It seems like we have a lot of success in that field typically year in and year out.
Yeah, we do. You know, we tend to have a lot of good success in that. You know, part of that is our cross-country program. Coach Allen over on the cross-country side does a great job with her program. The neat thing about this was the Page boys weren't part of that program when they came up. This track's the first one that we've kind of got them going in. And, you know, with Rob Powell as my distance coach, he does a great job with those guys. And Rob gets them in the workouts, but he also talks about the mental aspects of distance running because it's tough. It's hard mentally to refocus and, you know, have a bad race and come up with the next one. He's indispensable for us as far as on our coaching staff and making that good. But I have to give all the credit to the coaches and then to the athletes. You know, the athletes... it's just getting those kids that want to come out and run, and distance running is one of those things that you've got to want to do it, and you got to run through the pain and tears, and it's hard, but when you suck it up and you go through it and you just go through it and get better and better. And James has come on strong for us. He had a kind of a breakthrough meet out there at Uinta, and he hasn't looked back.
Other individuals on the boys' side that caught your attention? I mean, of course, we're always going to be talking about the long jump and the distance runners, of course, because it's been so exciting in that regard. But, Coach, you guys did manage to score some points in some other categories that maybe you would have viewed as a surprise in that 111 points that ended up being the final total.
Right. You know, we had Gunnar Jeffs threw out of his mind in the shot put, managed to make it stay. He's in that fourth spot, threw a 42 feet, which was a huge PR for him, which was really exciting to see him do. You know, we got Jared Atwood qualified in the high jump. He tied for third. And to have kids like that step up that you just weren't expecting to get points out of, and they got points in there, really helped us out. You know, I mean, our hurdle event, we had four guys in the final of the 110 hurdles. You know, Antonio Meekham ran a new PR. Tyson Swayze ran a PR. David Hobbs ran a PR. I mean, it was a lot of fun to see those guys moving up. You know, they didn't qualify for state, but they scored points for us where we needed points. And, just a lot of fun to see those guys. And then our relays, you know, our relays across the board were really, really good. You know, Evan Wilson anchored a great medley relay. Jalen Dennis has been phenomenal on those relays. He also made some points for us. He made the 100 final and the 200 final. I mean, this guy's team is just deeper and deeper than we expected, and we're going to lose a few kids, but not a lot. We're retaining the core for next year, so this boys' team is going to be that much better next year, and so it's kind of scary what they were able to do this year, and so we're really excited to see what happens next year.
If we move ahead, Coach, and we take a look at the state championship meet, which is now going to be next week, how does this team set as far as qualifiers, and are you happy with where you guys are at?
We're happy with where we're at. I mean, we have a few things that we're not real thrilled about. I mean, with the new region classifications, it was a little frustrating from a coach's point of view when we looked at the other regions and how they panned out, to realize that we have kids that were fifth and sixth in our region that aren't going to state that could beat second, third, and fourth in the other regions. A couple of our hurdlers on the girls' side that could score at state aren't going because they didn't make it in the top four in our region because our region's that good. I think what a lot of people don't understand is in track, JUAB is one of the top teams. Delta's one of the top teams. We're one of the top teams. We're all in the same region. And so that's really hard when you're trying to get qualifiers through. But overall, we got the majority of the kids in that we needed to get in. We're sitting really well for state. But our whole goal, we kind of shifted about halfway through the season. We're pushing, you know, yeah, we can get region, we can get state, we can go for this stuff. And now what we're doing is we're trying to say, hey, you know what, let's just focus on what we do best. And that's we're going to go out and have fun, have a good time with the kids, and then we're going to let our performances stand out. And that's what happened. I think you saw at region is our kids were loose, relaxed. They were all performing well. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that the day before region, we went out and had a good time. We had music at practice and then as bad things happened, like our medley got DQ'd at that meet. You know, we went over as coaches, we made it a joint effort to go over and say, guys, what's okay? Those things happen. Let's just keep going. Keep it super positive. And I think the kids fed on that a little bit. And we got a great group of kids. I think you just when you got a good group of kids, they don't need a whole lot of coaching at this point. It's just let them go do their thing, and they'll perform for you.
Coach, it's always fun to talk with you and get an update on the team. I really appreciate the time. Best of luck next week as we prepare for state, and congratulations on a great showing here at the region meet.
Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Jim Jukes of the Carbondano Track and Field Squad. We're going to break for just a moment. More local sports when we return right here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
More local sports coming your way right now. Last segment, we talked some track and field with Coach Jim Jukes. Now we're going to talk baseball with Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondino Baseball Squad. Carbon winning an elimination game earlier today that defeated the Union Cougars by a final score of 8-7 in extra innings, and now they're awaiting their next opponent. They'll go toe-to-toe with either Juab or Richfield. Joining us right now to talk about the victory earlier today and what lies ahead for the Dinos, we have Coach Jeff Cincinnatus on the phone right now. Coach, thank you again for making time for us.
Oh, Jordan, appreciate you getting me on. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. It was a fun one today. You guys had a battle back from an early deficit, but you find a way to survive in the 3A state tournament with an 8-7 win over Union.
Yeah, it was a tough day. It was a long day. Started out rough, not playing real well, and then a rain delay, I thought, really helped us. We went down and talked about it as a team during the rain delay, what we were doing. Honestly, what we weren't doing, because we weren't doing a whole lot at that point in time. And from the rain delay on, I thought we were the better team and the more aggressive team, and we come out with the win against a really good Union team today.
You talked about the rain delay. That's a variable in baseball that you just really don't have in other sports. Sometimes it works for you. Sometimes it works against you. Rarely will you have a rain delay not play a factor in a contest. Sounds like today it was just fortunate that it worked out in Carbon's favor.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the third inning. I think we're down 4-1, bases loaded, two outs. Union had the bases loaded, and we actually stopped the game with a 3-0 count on their hitter, which, I wasn't real happy about stopping the game at that point in time, letting them throw three balls to a kid and with the bases already loaded. I mean, that's a tough spot to stop the game. So, I wasn't real happy at that point in time. We thought we were going to wait maybe 5-10 minutes and then continue, and I told them that I wanted to wait until the rain was completely done. We just weren't doing anything at that point in time, and I thought a longer break would help us out. We talked about a lot of things during that rain delay, like I said earlier, and I challenged the guys at that point in time to step up and not let this be our final performance of the season, and especially with the way we were playing. Zach Bradley came back, threw three straight strikes to their hitter. We got out of the inning without giving up another run. And then we came back in and finally put something together and scored a couple runs ourselves. So it was a big turning point, and it was still early in the ball game. So I just I'm really proud of the way our guys battled after that. I was really upset before that point in time just because I didn't think we were playing with any heart or effort. And, I really challenged them, and I thought they stepped up and met that challenge.
You mentioned yesterday, Coach, that you wanted to get a complete game out of Zach. How did that go? How long was Zach able to pitch, and how so effective was he during that time?
Zach threw well today. I think he went into around the 100 pitch count, which, at 110, he's got to come out anyway. It just seemed like the right point to bring him out and bring Triton in. Zach, he struggled with some walks today, but, honestly, as coaches, and I think Union would agree, I think the umpires played a little bit too big a part of this game today, especially on the plate. It just seemed like, the strike zone was a little tight for both pitchers. And so he struggled a little bit with some walks, but I can't say enough for him staying out there and battling and getting us to a point where, we were able to get the lead in the sixth inning and keep it, there. And I know they tied it up in the seventh and we went extras, but I mean, it was just a tribute to Zach all year long, working through and battling hard for us and giving us a chance to win ball games.
Yesterday, Coach, you guys failed to score a run against Grantsville. Today against Union, you score 8 runs, started off slow. What was the big change for this team offensively?
Just seeing some better pitching. We were swinging a lot of bad pitches yesterday, I thought, and letting a lot of good pitches go. We were doing that early in the game today, and when I challenged him to step up, I just told him, look, we need to start swinging and get pitches and start doing something with it. And, you know, we started to take more bad pitches from their pitcher and make him throw pitches that we want to hit instead of swinging at stuff that he wanted us to. So I think being a little more patient at the plate really helped us out. And, you know, we were able to get a win. I think it's the first postseason win in a state tournament at Kearns at this ballpark that Carbon's had, you know, going way back to when this park was built. But we just have not had a win in that ballpark, and it was really nice to get the monkey off our back today.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dental baseball team. Coach, you managed to find the rhythm offensively in this game, but you're playing from behind in a game where if you lose, the season's over. And you guys struggled yesterday. Do you preach aggressiveness at that point in time, or do you preach patience? Or is it a fine line knowing that you have struggled, but now you have to get it rolling or your season's done?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, honestly, you know, you lose, you go home, like you said. And for us yesterday, you know, it was a tough loss for us. I mean, we came up here, you know, with in mind that we were going to go through the winner's bracket and stay there because we thought we were the better team. And that loss yesterday really took the air out of us. And I'm not going to lie, I struggled with it, even still coming up here this morning on the bus ride, trying to get that loss out of our system and move forward to today's game. And I think the game started that way for us. I still think we were feeling a little sorry for ourselves from yesterday, and that's what I kind of talked about in the rain delay and said, you know what, we need to quit feeling sorry for ourselves. We need to own up to what we're doing, and we need to, you know, either be satisfied with what the outcome is today, or you know, or we're going to go home. And so, you know, I think just by challenging them at that point in time, just made a big difference. And I mean, we were just a little more patient than we had been. We weren't trying to do everything all in one swing. And, you know, honestly, I mean, baseball is a funny game, and especially when you're dealing with high school kids, I mean, things can go left and right and every which direction, and say, you know, the ball kind of bounced our way, and we're just fortunate to get away with the win.
You mentioned extra innings, Coach. You guys pick up the win 8-7. How did that game-winning run come across the plate?
You know, Cody Lowe had an excellent bat to start the inning off. I mean, he battled probably 7 or 8 pitches, finally, you know, gets a ball that was still probably 2 feet in front of the plate and out of the zone, and he hits it for a double and starts the inning off with a double. So, you know, he's at second base to start the inning off with just an excellent at bat. I mean, I don't think he could have done it any better. You know, Nate Elson battles through some pitches with a 2-strike count, you know, gets the ball fair between the pitcher and really the third baseman. Third baseman came through and, you know, had an errant throw to first base. We sent Cody all the way from second to home. And, you know, they made a play at home, and it was close. He was definitely safe. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't a question. But it was a tight play, and, you know, we were aggressive on that play right there, knowing we had a guy in scoring position. And even if Cody would have got thrown out, we'd have had Nate in scoring position because he went to second base. So, you know, like I said, the ball bounced our way. And, you know, me and Coach Laverham from Union have been great friends since our playing days, and I really respect him and his program a lot and what he's done there. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we had to, you know, one of us was going to go home today by the other one. I mean, you don't like to do that, but I have a lot of respect for him and his kids, and they played an extremely tough ball game today. And we were fortunate, like I said, to get a win and, you know, end up being the third win in the season against them. And that's a tough thing to do. So, I give our kids a lot of credit today.
Juab or Richfield coming up next. We know how good Richfield can be when Emmett Hafen is on the mound, but we also know how tough Juab is, considering that you guys split the season set and they really made it interesting for a region championship. Any preference in who you'd rather see?
You know, that's a tough one. You know, I would say Richfield at this point in time because, you know, Hafen is throwing right now against Juab as we speak, and I just think, you know, with him throwing right now, their pitching staff's going to be a little bit down compared to a pitching staff that Juab's going to have. And we know Juab, they're scrappers. They play hard. They play hard for each other, for their coach. And, you know, honestly, I mean, whoever is presented in front of you, you got to go get. But, I mean, my opinion would be Richfield. But you got to be careful with what you ask for at this point in time in the season. Honestly, I think we match up a little better with Richfield right now, especially with Emmett Hafen throwing for them right now and not having him available. So, But we've got to go hit. We've got to go hit tonight when we get that opportunity again, no matter who pitches and who we play. And hopefully we can move ourselves into tomorrow and give ourselves a chance to come home with the state title.
How do you handle the pitching from this point on, Coach?
It's going to be by committee. I mean, you know, we're Zach Bradley's done for the tournament. Trinabeta can still throw tomorrow about 40 pitches for us tomorrow. We get Cody Lowe back tomorrow if we can get past tonight. You know, and he can throw another game for us tomorrow. So I really think we're in a good spot with what we've done with our pitching. It is tough with the pitch count, but, you know, our guys, our relievers that we have left are probably, you know, we're going to try and keep them under the 35-pitch mark so that they'd be available to throw tomorrow too. And honestly, you know, they haven't thrown a complete game for us, you know, all this year. They've been coming in relief, and I'm going to keep them in that and try and get three innings out of each one of them and just pitch by committee tonight and then tomorrow. I mean, it's just whatever we can do tomorrow. You know, you got to win three games tomorrow. We still got to win four games to win a state title. So, you know, somebody's got to do it, and hopefully, you know, we just give ourselves a chance.
Four games to win a state championship. Does a win against Union, does it rejuvenate these kids a little bit? I know you said that you had struggled a little bit with the loss yesterday to Grantsville. Did you notice a major change in attitude after picking up that win?
Well, I did, and especially, you know, I've seen a major change in the attitude. Like I said, once we got through the rain delay when we challenged the kids, I seen a complete difference there. And from that point on, and you know, we talked about it after that we're happy, but we're not satisfied, and that's true. And we're not going to be satisfied unless we accomplish that goal. And you know, we just got to give ourselves a chance to do that. So, you know, I hope that we take the attitude that we finished the ball game with today, and we take it into tonight, and then bring it back tomorrow and see what we can do.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, hey, I know you're busy with the team right now. You guys are trying to get situated for another game, so I'm going to let you get. But I definitely do appreciate you again making time to give us an update.
Thanks, Jordan. I do appreciate it.
That's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondale baseball team. Again, Carbon picks up a win against Union, four victories away from a state championship. They'll take on either Juab or Richfield tonight. A win there would put Carbon into the final day of the high school baseball season, which is tomorrow. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this week of the show when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go.
Hey, Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to end by talking NBA basketball. And I'm not going to say it was shocking news, but an interesting story developed today. The Toronto Raptors fired Dwayne Casey. Most successful coach in franchise history, was just named Coach of the Year. Lost his job after the Raptors were swept out of the second round by the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I said it's not a surprise because the way Toronto looked in that series, it was bad. And you blame coaching. You blamed coaching on the way Toronto looked in the second round. That team had no fight. They quit. It was odd. It was almost disheartening the way a team that had that much talent just quit, rolled over in the playoffs. Is the firing justifiable? Do you justify what happened today?
I'm stuck on how I feel about this because, one, they were the one seed. Two, they probably should have beat Cleveland. Three, they weren't prepared to play Cleveland, so the roster's kind of in flux, and I'm going to say probably they should move on. So, yes, I'm all right with them firing Dwayne Casey.
Okay, I don't think he should have been coach of the year to begin with.
I don't either.
Because, and so this is why I'm okay with him being fired, okay? Because when I look at that roster, he has way more talent front to back, more established talent front to back than Quinn Snyder has in Utah. He does.
Yes, he does.
I'm not knocking the Utah Jazz roster. I'm just being realistic. Established talent. He has DeMar DeRozan. He has Serge Ibaka. He has Kyle Lowry. He has Valanciunas. They have the talent front to back of established vets in this league. Okay? They have more talent, established talent front to back than the Boston Celtics. And Brad Stevens did not get a single vote.
I don't know how anyone else could have been considered for Coach of the Year outside of Stevens and Quinn Snyder. Personally, maybe you can go ahead and throw Brown in there as well for Philadelphia, I guess.
I have no problem with Brent Brown because that team won, what, 13 games, what, last year?
Sure, so throw him in the conversation. Whoever voted for Doc Rivers should never be able to vote again. But I don't know that Casey deserved Coach of the Year to begin with. So it's always going to be a trivia question or a trivia answer that the year this guy won Coach of the Year, he was fired. Okay, and I think he's going to land a job pretty quickly. I know that already he's being rumored for the Detroit Pistons job. So he's not going to be out of a job long. Had 1 year left on his contract worth $6.5 million. You know, he's the most successful coach in franchise history. How many times has he won 50 games as head coach of the Raptors?
Raptors have been around 22, 23 years. They've won 50 games three times. He has all three of them.
All of them. The old saying goes, players win, coaches lose.
Yep.
It's a prime example. I don't believe that Toronto was ready for the Cleveland Cavaliers at all. I saw an article today with a headline of LeBron James got Dwayne Casey fired.
No, he didn't.
Look, that team had no fight. They were done.
They weren't ready.
They weren't even that impressive against Washington. For the amount of talent that that team has, it is disappointing. You know I love DeMar DeRozan. I love that guy. I was disappointed in the way DeMar DeRozan played in the playoffs altogether.
He stunk. And just go back to game one against Cleveland. If they don't blow that series lead, they're probably still playing this week. And if they can get one of those tip-ins to fall, who knows what happens? Like the whole change of the franchise, you know, they could still be playing. They could be trying to eliminate Cleveland, but it didn't happen that way, so now they're going to look at Mike Budenholzer, I think is a name I heard.
Which
so,
I like him a lot.
Yeah, I think that would be a good hire for the Raptors, but they've got some work to do.
Okay, let's look at what this roster has, because I made the comment, if you couldn't win the Eastern Conference this year, blow the team up because you're not winning it next year. Okay, because Boston's going to be significantly better once they get Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving back. They don't even need to have a blockbuster offseason, which they still could, but they don't need to, and they're going to be significantly better. Okay, Philadelphia is going to get better and better and better every year. There's two teams in the Eastern Conference that I think you need to consider blowing it up. Okay, that's Toronto and Washington. I know you're a John Wall guy. Not impressed with John Wall.
It's not working.
It's not working in Washington. That's a team that needs to consider blowing it up as well. Indiana is going to get better. Like, there are teams in the Eastern Conference that are going to get better. With this roster right now, Kyle Lowry is on the books through 2020. He's going to make $30 million over the next 2 years. $30-plus million. That last year is a $33 million guarantee. Okay, DeMar DeRozan is under contract until 2021, $27 million a year. Serge Ibaka is on the books for the next 2 years, $21 and $23 million. Valachunas is on the books next year at $15.5, $17.6 the year after that. CJ Miles is on the books for the next 2 seasons. You do have a couple of decent contracts, like a Jakob Poeltl. He's only making $2 million. There's a couple of decent contracts on this team, but for the most part, that core, they're not getting any younger, and Toronto with that big three, and I label the big three loosely, but they're paid like a big three, Ibaka, Lowry, and DeRozan. They were swept by the Cavaliers, and they weren't impressive with Washington. I don't know that a new coach is going to change anything, Travis. I really don't. I don't know that that core is good enough to get out of the East.
They're not, and that's why you probably should move forward and try to move those pieces and start from scratch, because you're going to have to work through the draft now, and because free agency is going to be hit or miss with Toronto. So I'd blow it up and try to get pieces back, draft picks.
I think it's going to be tough to move Lowry at $33 million.
That's one that you're stuck with.
And that's okay. He's not, I mean, Lowry's an all-star point guard. He's a pretty good basketball player. I don't think you can move on from that contract. Serge Ibaka, ugh, it's a tough.
Probably
one.
Not.
It's a tough contract to move on from. For me, the most plausible guy to move on from is DeMar DeRozan. I don't know if you want to do that because I consider him one of the most creative scorers in the Eastern Conference. But that three, it's I just don't think it's going to work. And like I said, the Eastern Conference is going to get much, much better. But the USA Today ran an article about the best coaches to get fired. Now, I want you to tell me if Dwayne Casey fits this mold. Should he be in this conversation? These are some of the best coaches in the major professional sports here in the country that have been fired. Tom Coughlin was fired by the New York Giants. He stepped down, but come on, Mara and Tish, they forced him out.
Forced him out, yeah, he's one of the greatest coaches in Giants history.
I think he's one of the greatest football coaches in history. He's won two Super Bowl rings, and look what he's done already in Jacksonville from a front office standpoint.
Yeah, smart guy.
He's one of the best coaches that we have seen fired. Terry Francona was fired from the Boston Red Sox. What in the world when you think about that?
He's so awesome. I love Tito. And he's got Cleveland, you know, one of those powerhouse teams, so they're always competing. So, yeah, that one's kind of a, what are you doing, Red Sox?
When I look at the Wayne Casey, do you put him in the same category as those coaches? Because then I think you drop a tier. Maybe this is where we put the Wayne Casey. One of the best resumes at that particular time to get fired in the NBA was Mike Brown. And the only reason Mike Brown was fired was because LeBron James wanted to bring in a coach with quote-unquote championship pedigree. Remember that? He wanted a player. So they fired Mike Brown and went out and got Byron Scott, and then he bolted from Cleveland anyways and went to Miami. But when you take a look at the history between the two, I mean, Mike Brown won 60 games. LeBron James could not get the Cavaliers to the NBA Finals, and Mike Brown was the fall guy, and it was a last-gasp effort to keep LeBron in Cleveland. That's why Mike Brown got the axe.
Trying to appease LeBron, it didn't work.
Is Toronto doing the same thing here with the DeMar DeRozan? Because DeRozan was not happy with Dwayne Casey.
He wasn't happy because he got benched in, what was it, game three towards the end? Because that second unit was playing well, so you ride with that unit, and DeRozan was upset because he was benched.
So again,
so they're appeasing to him.
Right, and I agree. And I'm saying that there's a tier of great coaches that have been fired, and I'm going to go ahead and put Casey in that same category as Mike Brown because he's done an admirable job, but the problem is there's tension between a top-paid player on the team and you're not good enough to come out of the Eastern Conference. So now I'm not going to put him in the same category as like a Terry Francona or a Tom Coughlin because he didn't win a championship. But this guy has a decent resume with Toronto, did not perform in the playoffs. That team quit, and I guess that's a coaching issue. I don't know. If you're an athlete making $27 million a year and you quit, to me, you have a ticker problem, but that's neither here nor there. You're never going to win that argument. We're out of time on this edition of the show. I want to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnatus and, of course, Coach Jim Jukes for taking out the time to join us. Tomorrow, it's the best of edition of Drive Time Sports at 4 p.m. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.